You're listening to Trek FM.
This is Robert Picardo, the emergency medical hologram from Star Trek Voyager, and you're listening to Trek FM.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is To the Journey.
To the Journey!
I'm your co-host, Tristan Riddell, and with me, as always, is...
Charlene Schmidt.
And what you heard at the top of the show, that's right, your ears are not lying to you. Lend me your ears, Star Trek fans! We had Robert Picardo intro the show for the first time ever on To the Journey.
Yes, we did.
Now, how did that happen? How on earth did we get Robert Picardo to intro To the Journey and Trek.fm?
What happened was I drove 4.5 hours from Phoenix to Las Vegas, attended Star Trek Las Vegas, and very kindly asked him if he would, and he was absolutely all about it. No problems whatsoever. He even recorded two of them, as a matter of fact, just in case one didn't turn out quite right. Pure professionalism right there.
I was going to say, that's a mark of a professional right there. It's just like, let's do it again, just in case. There was a pop or a click off camera.
Yeah, because I initially started moving my phone back. I just recorded it on the phone. I mean, it was a really impromptu thing. Like, he was there. There was nobody else in line. I said, okay, I'm going to get an autograph, and I'm going to ask for a bumper. And so I did. And he said, no, put it back. Put the phone back. I'm going to record another one. And so then he did, and he was awesome about that. So thank you, Bob Picardo. It was a pleasure meeting you. And I hope you had fun in Vegas, because I know I did.
What this podcast, this episode is going to be about is about your experience at Star Trek Las Vegas. Now, I was unable to go.
I know. Why were you not with us? It was so much fun.
I'm planning on going next year for the 50th.
Well, you and everybody is planning on the 50th. Yes, it's going to be pure mayhem.
That's the thing is that I really wish I could have gone for the 20th anniversary of Voyager. But I had to pick one of 2 years. So it was either going to be this one or next year. And I was like, well, okay, I'm going to go for the 50th because if I can only pick one, it's going to be the 50th. But this was Creation Entertainment's 14th annual Las Vegas official Star Trek convention of 2015 in Las Vegas, Nevada. And it was Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, August 6th through the 9th, and at the Rio Suites Hotel.
Yep.
You went with a lot of our friends online. I mean, you didn't go with them, but they were there.
Yes, we were all in the same place.
Now, what time is this for you? What Vegas convention number is this for you?
This is number 2 of Vegas conventions.
So you've only gone one time before?
Right, and that was 2 years ago.
2 years ago, so you did not go last year?
No, I wanted to, but the timing was a little off for me, and we had some things going on to where I didn't want to make plans that I didn't know for sure if I was going to be able to keep. So no traveling was on the books, really, for last year, and so I skipped.
Now, I wish this was the kind of event, you know, like we're big on Twitter. And I say big as in we like Twitter a lot.
Well, what do you mean? We're not like B-list Twitter internet celebrities. Come on.
We go on Twitter all the time. We go on Twitter almost every single day. And that's where I've met all of my Star Trek friends. Mm-hmm. Literally all of my Star Trek friends has been online. And when we have this kind of event, every single person asks every other single person on Twitter, are you going to Star Trek Vegas? Are you going to Las Vegas this year? Are you going
of
to
course.
Las Vegas this year? Every single
time. It's a ritual now, right?
Right, absolutely. And so so it's not so much like, why are you who are you going to see at Vegas? Like, oh, I'm going for the Voyager panel, or I'm going because Garrett Wong is there, or anything like that. It's like, no, we're going because all of our friends online are going.
Right. I mean, don't get me wrong. The panels and all of the actors and the producers and whatnot, yeah, you do go for that. But really, after you've gone, especially after the first time, you go because of the other people that you're going to see there. All the people that you've met up with, all the people you want to meet up with, the people you don't know that you are going to meet up with, who you end up meeting up with, and then you become Twitter friends with them later. I mean, that's how it works.
I just wish that this was one of those events where all of us could go, where everybody just gets on Twitter and goes like, oh yeah, I'll see you there. You know, like it's just something that you do. Like, yeah, you're like, oh, I'm in Japan or I'm in Germany or, you know, I'm in Chicago. So it's just like, Yeah, no, let's just go. We'll just get in our transporter and go.
I know, but we really do need transporters so that we could all meet up. I mean, it would be so great if we could get Chris over in Japan to come out. We've got friends all over the world who, it would be fantastic to meet them, but with the limitation of physical distance and our current conventional methods of travel, well, it's expensive and it's time consuming, and I understand why they don't want to fly all the way halfway around the world just for 4 days.
Now, speaking of 4 days, which days did you go?
Well, I drove down on Thursday, the start of the convention, and so I was there for the afternoon.
Okay.
So I was there almost from the beginning. I know there were people who were there like as early as Tuesday, ready to get things started. Some people do. And if you're there Wednesday, I think they open up the dealer's room early for people who are there, and you can get registered that day. But really, Thursday, that's when things really kick off. That's when there's panels to go to and everything is in full swing. So I drove over there in the morning and started in the afternoon, and I met up with somebody you know. How about Matt Hansen from Nerd Party, your co-host on that show, and then my former co-host on the Delta Quadrant. He was the first person I met up with over there, and we went to a couple of panels that day and had a great time.
I'm so utterly jealous, and like we just talked about a moment ago, I want to go to see all of this hoopla, all the Star Trek, you know, just merchandise and people and stars and events. I want to see all that, but just that right there, like you meeting up with Matt Hansen, is just like, it just pangs in my heart, where I'm just like, oh, I just want this moment where the three of us meet up and we have this huge bear hug, just the three of us.
Because, oh, yes. Oh, can we make that happen next year?
I promise. I'm going to do my absolute 100% best to go there. Barring a natural disaster, I'm going to be there next year.
Okay, and I know
the three of us are going to meet up.
All right, you're in the Midwest, and I know tornadoes are common, but let's hope against all hope, come hell or high water, you're going to be in Vegas next year. I want to make that bear hug happen, because that would be epic.
That'd be amazing, because like the three of us together, I would get that framed as 8x10 on my wall, absolutely.
Oh, heavens, yes, that would go in my Trek shrine. It really would.
So you met up with Matt, fantastic guy. Everybody should listen to the Nerd Party and listen to him.
Yes, yes.
By going to thenerdparty.com. And right. So...
shameless plug.
Shameless plug. So you met up with him Thursday afternoon. What'd you guys go do?
Well, the first thing we did after I got all registered, because he got there earlier than I did. He was all ready to go. Once we exchanged hugs, we went to the Enterprise panel. So it was Linda Park, Dominic Keating, Connor Trinneer, and John Billingsley.
Nice.
And that was a great panel. Yeah, yeah. I really liked it, especially hearing from John, because he has, I feel, a very realistic perspective on Enterprise, knowing the situation was not ideal. And not all of Enterprise was good. He was very honest about that. And at the same time, really funny and engaging. And Phlox was one of my favorite characters on Enterprise.
Oh, yeah.
And so just to get the words out of the guy who played him was really interesting to listen to, because I had not heard him speak before.
I haven't either. I haven't heard anybody from Enterprise speak. And I've heard nothing but good things about Billingsley. Just he's really down to earth, really funny. That's what I always hear. Those two things.
Yeah. Well, they're always good. And I've seen Connor Trinneer and Dominic Keating. They often do panels together. They're buds. And so they're fun and they have a good time. But then they also had Linda Park, and that all of them together made for a really entertaining panel. And that's typically how these things go. The unexpected always happens. Somebody will ask a question that's totally out of left field and crack everybody up. Like, and sometimes it's a good thing that that happens. And then sometimes you just really wonder, okay, what are you on? Why would you ask that question, and why are you wasting everybody's time when somebody had a really thoughtful question they didn't get in because you asked your stupid question? But
well, it wouldn't be it would not be a convention unless somebody asked a stupid question where the entire room just went, ugh.
Like, yeah, really? Oh, brother.
The last convention that I went to, I did not hear them speak, but I saw them signing autographs. I saw Connor Trinneer and Dominic Keating. Mm-hmm. And it was definitely one of those Star Trek moments where I was just like, Trip and Malcolm. Oh god.
Yeah, yeah.
You think you're going to be cool.
Yeah.
The first Chicago convention I went to, didn't have that many, not headliners, but like a main cast.
Okay.
Like it had Armin Shimerman, and okay. I got his signature, but everybody else was really kind of like, they had Mark Alaimo, they had okay. Admiral Forrest from uh-huh. Enterprise, you know, like people who were, you know, awesome actors and fantastic people and great guest stars and reoccurring roles. But yeah. Armin Shimerman was kind of the only main headline, like main cast that on the day that I went.
Okay.
And so when I went just a couple months ago, there was Denise Crosby, there was Robert Picardo, Garrett Wong, Dominic Keating, Connor Trenier, Terry Farrell, and I was just like, oh my God, you know, I was just like,
right.
you, like walking in, I'm just like, I'm gonna see these people, and it's gonna be cool. Like Tristan, you've interacted, you've interviewed a lot of celebrities, you've worked with a lot of high level people. It's gonna be cool, but Star Trek people freak me out because I'm just like, hello, sir, how are you doing today?
Yeah.
You know, it's just like I have my hands in front of my chest, like, you know, am I annoying you by asking you for your autograph and giving you money for said autograph? You know, just like stuff like that.
Right.
But who made you freak out? Like who
Ooh,
like who walked by?
Freak out?
You know, like who walked by or who did you see in a panel where you're just kind of started biting your fist, like, oh my God.
You know, what's really interesting is this time around, I wasn't really freaked out by anybody. They're just people, like the rest of us. But
seasoned veteran that you are.
Well, here's the thing, though, is yes, they were on TV. But yes, they're also just people. And this was their job. And yeah, they're right in front of me. And it's awesome. And yet, I think the hardest thing is, okay, if you have a chance to speak to them, what do you say, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I don't really like small talk, but at the same time, right on the spot, it's really hard to think of something meaningful to say that they haven't heard a gazillion times at all these conventions right. before.
I'm sure.
So a lot of times it just is very brief, and you're like, hello, could I get an autograph, please? Yeah, sure. Who do I make this out to? Blah, blah, blah. You shake hands, and you just say, it was really nice to meet you. Thanks very much. And then that's it. And that's as brief as it gets. And then it's not weird. You don't go on. You're not wasting their time. But to be starstruck, these days, I mean, it's really common at Star Trek Las Vegas to see anybody mm-hmm. walking down the hall with their kids or what have you. I mean, one moment I can think of right off the bat was Lori and I were getting Starbucks in the Rio, and right in front of us was Tim Russ with his kids.
Ugh.
And, you know, it's not like where you're like, oh, hey, Tim Russ, hi, how are you? It's so nice to meet you. No, he's there with his family. They're getting
right.
coffee and some snacks. And so, you know, I think he looked right at me. We made eye contact. And so I said, hello. And then that was it. He called out to one of his daughters who was in the back of the line, told her to get to the front of the line because they were ordering right then and there. And they did their thing. They got their stuff, sat down, and we did our thing, got ours. That's how it works. That's just how it is. You
See,
kind of
just,
know.
That's
like,
just good manners. You know,
well,
I think what you
it.
Did was great because, you know, like, you know, at the convention, if they're at a panel or if they're at a booth or something, go up, talk to them, shake their hand, get their autograph. But
yes.
if they're out for a drink or like, or if they're getting some groceries or they're trying to eat with their family, like, just leave them alone.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Give them a little bit of space because they don't have to be on all the time. You know, it's probably hard right. enough just to see people gawking at them all the time. You know, oh, that's Tim Russ. You know, I understand it's hard not to get excited and stuff like mm-hmm. that. But at the same time, if I were in their shoes, I would probably get a little bored with that. So,
yeah.
you know, I'm not going to bug them when they're just doing their thing. Like you said, if they're at a table, if they're doing the panel, that's when they know that they're on. They're accessible.
Right, right.
That's when you do that sort of thing. And the rest of the time, just keep your space and have a little internal squee moment. And
right,
then,
right.
you know, that's it.
Share that with your friends, not necessarily with them.
Play it cool, guys. Play it cool.
Now, okay, so you saw the Enterprise panel on Thursday.
Did,
and,
yes.
And how did the rest of the night go?
Well, one of the funnest things, if you've ever been to a convention, is going into the dealer's room and seeing all the goodies and all the things that you could spend so much money on.
Endless and, amounts of money.
So the first thing I did, I mean, I dropped some money right away. I went straight to Garrett Wong's table because, yes, he was there. And if you guys don't know out there listening in podcast land, he has a t-shirt company called cosmic-city.com where he sells t-shirts, and a lot of them are science-y, like science fiction or Star Trek related, along those themes. And of course he had some new Star Trek merch, and he has some great stuff this time. So to keep it short, he has a Janeway shirt, a Harry shirt, a Chakotay tattoo shirt, and a Captain Proton shirt.
Oh, that's awesome. I heard about the Proton shirt.
And I did not get that shirt because he was already out of smalls and mediums and men's sizes, any larger, and I would have drowned in it. And so I couldn't get that one. But right off the bat, I'm like, okay, I want that one, and that one. So I'm just like, shut up and take my money, Garrett Wong. I love you, and I love your shirts.
So for the listeners, what's the website again?
It is cosmic-city.com, and you can get all the shirts there, he said.
Fantastic.
So if you've never seen Garrett Wong at a convention, especially in the dealer's room, he is just the most awesome guy. He really knows how to do this thing. He's incredibly personable and charming and happy and enthusiastic. There's just a really positive energy around him. He's a lot of fun. He will give you an autograph. He'll give you a hug. He will give you a selfie. He'll do whatever you like. And especially if you buy a t-shirt. And especially if he's making money while he's doing it. But just a really awesome guy. Even if you do not like his character, Harry Kim, go see Garrett Wong. Because he's a winner. He is a great convention guy. He knows how to do these things so well.
So besides Garrett Wong's t-shirts, what were some of the highlights in the dealer's room? Because that is my absolute favorite thing about conventions, is walking into the dealer's room and just hearing the cash leave my wallet.
Right? Oh, it's so great. Well, I was a little disappointed at the fact that there wasn't a whole lot of Voyager 20th anniversary kind of stuff.
Oh, bummer.
Because that was why I was there for sure. I mean, I was actually... in the same spot that you were in this year, I was last year, where I could have gone last year, but then, you know what? I was so set on going this year for Voyager's 20th, because 2 years ago it was DS9's 20th, and I saw what they did with that. I said, okay, I'm going to come back here, and I really want to celebrate Voyager, because I knew they were going to do it, and they did. And so that's another part of why I skipped last year, was because I knew this year was going to be big, and boy, was it. So I was a little disappointed at the lack of merchandise, but the other thing where the cash just magically disappeared out of my wallet was I got a jacket that said Voyager 20 years.
And, oh, nice.
Yeah, really cool looking jacket, really nice, high quality stuff, and very overpriced, but still totally worth it. And Lori Sears, who hosted the first 50 episodes of To the Journey, was with me for that. We both got one, but I'm getting a little ahead of myself. So, yeah, in the dealer's room, t-shirts, 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 lots of really good t-shirts. And you know me, I'm a t-shirt fanatic. Mm-hmm. I could have spent thousands of dollars on t-shirts alone. I didn't. I really wanted to, though.
What were some of your favorites? Like, can you describe them for the audience?
Yeah, there's a couple that I really wanted to get that I didn't. Like, there was one with, it said Trouble with Tribbles, and it has tribbles all over it.
Nice.
Oh, gosh. There was one that I wanted to get that said Janeway is the new red in the Orange is the New Black logo.
That's funny.
I really wanted to get that shirt, but it only came in white. And I'm not a big fan of white shirts.
No, I don't think most people are.
Yeah, so I didn't end up getting that one. And the other one, which I've been meaning to get for ages, over at the mission log table, is it's silhouettes of Kirk, Spock, and McCoy in the transporter. And it says Ethos, Pathos, Logos. And I love that shirt. You can get it off of their website as well. Go to missionlogpod.com and get that there. I was all about the t-shirts and all of that. There was a lot of art. Alec Egan, who is Kate Mulgrew's son, he was there selling his prints. And so there was a whole variety of art, from the really huge stuff to teeny little things. The other thing in the dealer's room is just kind of fun to see who is there in terms of people who are signing. So in the same room, you can have Chase Masterson, Armin Shimerman, Tracy Coco, Max Gradenschik, Robert Picardo. I mean, you name it. They're all in there. So you're just walking around and lo and behold, there they are.
I love that Tracy Coco is there. I absolutely love that. Like, only in Star Trek can an extra,
right,
be there and deserve to be there. And people are excited that she's there.
Oh, totally. Every time I went by her table, she was talking with somebody. And so she was, I think, a very popular guest. And she, I hope she gets invited back because I think she did well for herself.
I would hardcore get her autograph. I would squee about her hard.
Yeah. You know, I was really hoping when they announced her as a guest for this year's convention that that was going to convince you to just buck up and come. But
yeah, like not Patrick Stewart,
no.
Not William Shatner, no. Tracy Coco. That is what's going to get me to Star Trek Las Vegas.
I seriously thought that was going to be the real kicker, the real clincher for you, but lo and behold, it wasn't. So she really does need to come back next year then so that you can see her and shake her hand.
Yeah, she does. So now, okay, so you went to the vendor's room, saw a lot of great stuff. You went to the Enterprise panel beforehand.
Yeah.
Did you guys go out and do anything that night? Like as the first night of Star Trek Vegas, did you go out and celebrate?
A little bit. Yeah, there was a little bit of drinking going on. There was a little bit of time at the Masquerade Bar, hanging out and enjoying ourselves. And what happened essentially was just meeting new people. People that whose names I recognized from things like Tumblr and then Twitter. And we're all mutually following one another. Or if we're not all following one another, we do follow one another and we get to know them and just talk about stuff. And that's pretty much how we spent the night. It was a great, great time. And I tried not to stay out too late because the following morning I went up to pick Lori up at the airport and got her to the convention, got her all going. And Friday was a couple more panels. There was the TNG ladies, except for Gates McFadden. Marina Sirtis was there. Denise Crosby was there. Michael Dorn was there with them.
One of the greatest ladies of Next Generation.
Yes, yeah, sorry, Michael Dorn. No, it was a great panel because I think last time I was in Vegas, I skipped the panel Denise Crosby was on or something like that. And so I hadn't heard her speak before. And I know that Marina Sirtis is always a hoot. You never know what's going to come out of her mouth. And I love her for that.
She's hysterical. And
she is.
And if she doesn't like you, she'll shut you down.
Oh, she'll let you know. She speaks her mind. And that's what I really like about her is she is brutally honest. She is not afraid to let you know what she thinks. And I really admire that about her.
The last time we were talking about conventions, I spoke about Denise Crosby and how freaking amazing she looks. Now,
you know what's great is they all look good.
It's freaky is what it is.
It is. Like, what kind of drugs are they all taking? They all look amazing. Like, seeing Marina Sirtis in person, she's gorgeous.
Her personality is just so big.
Yeah, yeah. But accessible still.
Yes, very accessible. Like, I got to go and talk with her for a good long time. Like, when I went to a Star Trek convention last summer. And she was very generous with her time. I got to spend a good amount of time with her as well as Jonathan Frakes. And she was just so nice and just, she would laugh so loud that the entire auditorium could hear her. And it was just, it was just really great. And what was it like to hear Denise, what's it like to hear Denise Crosby? Because I've never heard her speak at a convention.
She has a great subtle sense of humor. You know, she's very understated. And it's almost like a flat one-liner, and you have to think about it for a second, and then you laugh your ass off. Nice. She's great. She is great. I don't know. I'm going to say this a lot. They're all great. They really are.
You saw the TNG panel. What other panels did you see on Friday?
Oh, gosh. You know, it's almost hard to recollect what happened which day at this point. The other thing I did that I have to mention is I got the chance to help out the Mission Log guys, whom Trek FM syndicates in the network on the master feed. I went over to their table and just helped out for an hour here and there. And I actually got to meet a lot of people that way who were just coming by the table. And if people hadn't listened to Mission Log, I just told them what it was about and whatnot. Or if they were listeners, just talk about the show a little bit. And of course, I got to meet the hosts, John and Ken, and they're great guys, absolutely lovable. Nice. And of course, Mary Suwinski, who's kind of in that group there, and she's wonderful as well. We're friends on Twitter, so it was nice to connect with her and then just meet other people. Here's the really surreal thing that happened to me at Vegas. This did not happen as much, not nearly as much, 2 years ago, where people would come up to the table because I told people, hey, stop by the table on Twitter, and people did. And they introduced themselves, and I said, yeah, hi, I'm Charlene. Nice to meet you. And they said, oh, I know who you are. I listen to your podcast. I connected with so many to the Journey listeners, Tristan. It was so amazing. And it was really, I almost had to take a step back. Like, it took me aback every time somebody said, oh, I love your show. Thank you for all that you and Tristan do. I really love listening to you guys. Keep up the great work. And any kind of compliment like that, I'm just, wow. Okay, people out there do listen. Like, I have a live face, somebody who has heard my voice. We're meeting face to face for the first time. It might be the only time it ever happens, but this person is out there and they listen to what we do and they like it. And I hear all sorts of awesome things like, hey, you help me get through my workday. I work a really boring job and this helps me get through my day, or you make my commute that much faster, stuff like that. Or just, I thank you for giving Voyager love. Voyager doesn't get enough love. Yeah. And so we celebrate Voyager. And that was just so incredibly gratifying. Oh my God. To anybody that I spoke to over the 4 days, thank you so much for all the kind words. Truly, from the bottom of my heart, that just was an incredible experience. It really was.
I think that's probably going to be, when I go next year, I think that's probably going to be my favorite part, is meeting people who actually like our show.
It's amazing.
That is yet to happen to me. Like, that has, like, you've had that happen out in the wild. That, yes. Like, outside of a Star Trek convention before, and at a Star Trek convention. And I'm very, very, I'm severely jealous of that.
Well, get out to Vegas, because it will happen multiple times. And it's one thing to look at our numbers, and we know that people listen to the show because I can see how many people are downloading and from where. Mm-hmm. But to actually meet people who listen to the show and know about our show and talk about our show, that's an entirely different experience altogether. And so that was not something I really expected, and really came away from just feeling incredibly loved.
It's funny, because I talk with family members every once in a while. Like, I'll be out with them or something like that, and I'll be like, oh, hey, I got to get back. I got to do a show. Mm-hmm. And they're like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, I don't really broadcast it, just because not a lot of people in my family would probably understand. They're not all Star Trek fans. Most of them don't even know what a podcast is, you know?
Right.
It's not like I'm hiding it or anything, but I tell that, like, my wife's uncle came in from out of town. We were hanging out, and I said, I was like, hey, I'm sorry, I got to cut this short. I got to go do a show. Mm-hmm. And he's like, what are you talking about? And I tell him what To the Journey is and how I got started in it. Talk about Chris, talk about you, and just tell him the whole story. And he's like, well, do people listen to it? And I'm like, yeah, a lot, actually. And I'll tell him the numbers. He's like, that's insane. And I go, yeah, the Star Trek community is begging for content.
We really are. We are so hungry right now. And podcasts are a way to kind of tide us all over, I think.
Yeah. And it's just so nice to know. Like, we all know, like you said, we all know. We see the numbers. We know people are downloading. We know, like, we know what state you're from, what country you're from, and everything like that. But
we're cyber stalking you, totally.
Yeah, all cyber stalk you 100% of the time.
No.
To press the flesh, to shake the hand of a fan and have them say that they willfully listen to your stuff on purpose. Right. You know, like, that's.
Yeah, I talked with one lady who was just an absolute sweetheart. And right now her name escapes me because my brain is so incredibly depleted after these 4 days of mayhem. And I'm so sorry. But she said she's been listening through the beginning and is not quite caught up, but we've had people do this, and I can't imagine. I mean, I would get sick of listening to us, but they're out there doing it.
Yeah, it's so great. And thank you guys for listening, and thank you for sharing your stories with us with your emails and your tweets.
Yeah, truly.
You can find Char at Oh The Profanity on Twitter. You can find me at The Insane Robin, and you can send us an email by going to trek.fm/contact and selecting To the Journey from the drop-down menu. And tell us your story about, you know, Star Trek Vegas. Tell us why you go. Tell us who you'd like to meet and everything like that. Send us an email.
Indeed.
Let us know. Yeah, it's just, it's really great to get that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Another fun thing that happened by the mission log table was on the last day, those of us who represent Trek FM got together and did a little photo op. And Aww. That was me and Mike Schindler from Commentary Trek Stars and Jara from Women at Warp. And so if you're on Twitter, you can go see that. And I'm going to post it to the Babel conference. And by the time this is released, you'll probably see it there. But as of right now, I've not had a chance to get on Facebook yet. So I'm still recovering. But anyway, that happened. And it was really cool. And it was really nice to meet Jera, because I love Women at Warp, and I think that was a very, it's a very needed voice in the Trek community that just hadn't happened until Women at Warp came out. And then, of course, yeah. I've met Mike before, because we met 2 years ago, and it's always nice to see him, too.
I feel so bad, because I want to be on Women at Warp, but...
Why do you feel bad about that?
Well, I know that that's not the point. I know that they're there for women's voices, telling women's stories and from women's perspective.
But also a feminist perspective, and you are a feminist.
Yes, I am, but I don't want to intrude, but I really I love what they do on the show. I think yeah. It's really great.
Well, maybe they will ask you to come on the show for the right thing, for the right topic.
Maybe, for the right topic, maybe.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
If you guys are listening, if you have the right topic, I am more than willing to come on, but I completely respect the circle of, what's the term I'm looking for? Like the circle of inclusion when it comes
right,
to
yeah.
Women at Warp. Yeah.
the fact that you're a male might exclude you from...
I am not a woman at Warp, but love them very much. Anyway, so you had fun, you saw some multiple panels, you hung out, you got a nice photo op, I'm very jealous of that. So Saturday, what happened? Like, big things happen on Saturday.
Okay, yeah, let's get to the real meat of it, because as good as Thursday and Friday were, Saturday was the real reason why I was at Star Trek Las Vegas, because it was Voyager Day, and holy wow, it was Voyager Christmas, let me tell you. It was great. What we did is we started off the day with photo ops, Lori and I, and we did a little bit of cosplay, and not nearly to the level that some people do, because some people do incredible work. I mean, they go full on out with the makeup and the costumes. They do it all from scratch, and they do it all themselves, and it's amazing workmanship.
And somebody was Species 8472 this year.
Yes, and I got to see that in person, and wow, was that amazing.
That was insane.
Complete with sound effects, by the way.
Oh, sound effect. I mean, it was a non-humanoid costume.
Yeah. Yes, it was incredible to see in person. Whoever made that costume did such a great job and did deserve to win, point blank. I've never seen a Species 8472 before, and the lady who did it, I think her name was Denise, absolutely amazing work. Way to go. That's not to say that there wasn't other amazing cosplay out there, because there were some cute Tribbles out there, some little kids who were Tribbles. And of course, there were a lot of Seven of Nines this year, probably because it was a Voyager year, both men and women. And Jeri Ryan would actually stop the Seven of Nines and take a photo. And those are on Twitter somewhere, too.
It was great. Now, I just looked it up, and the name of the individual who did Species 8472 is Denise Gross. So, applause to you, Denise
Gross.
Yeah.
Yes. Beautiful job. So, anyway, my cosplay was not nearly that awesome. And no, we didn't enter. It wasn't even Star Trek cosplay. It was Kate Mulgrew role cosplay. Do you remember a little-known show called NTSF SDSUV?
Yes.
Okay, she played a character named Cove, who is absolutely crazy. We love her to death. And she wears an eye patch. And there's an episode where she has a scene where she talks about Cove's podcast. And it's called Undercover. And when she reveals it on the show in this episode, she has a jacket on. And she opens the jacket to reveal a t-shirt that says Undercover. And it's like the logo of her podcast. Lori had a friend of hers who does screen printing make us shirts. And then we found jackets online that looked really close to what Cove typically wore. And then I curled my hair up and whatnot. And we did the photo op with Kate. And we told her, we have a surprise, we have a reveal. So on the count of three, we opened up, took the photo. And eventually I'm going to post that online so you can see it. And it was such a blast. She got a kick out of it.
Good.
We felt really proud of ourselves that she, well, A, knew who we were, because a lot of people didn't. But then also that she did get a kick out of it and enjoyed it. So that was a lot of fun.
And that's not the first time you've met Kate Mulgrew.
No, I did a photo with her the last time I was in Vegas, and she was wonderful and sweet, just like she always is. I think she was a little tired this time. I do believe she is filming Orange is the New Black. I mean, I can just kind of tell her energy was not quite as high as it typically seems to be. You know, I mean, she's a little ball of energy. She really is. But I could kind of tell she was a little tired. She probably flew right in. Spend 8 hours signing and speaking and blah, 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 and then right back to New York to go film. So that's
She's probably in her red outfit going like, okay, guys, I got to go do a thing.
Screw you all off, guys. I have a job to do. And there was a great Red cosplay, by the way. And the person who was in that costume talked to Kate Mulgrew in the Red voice, because Kate said, "What is this?" And so the other lady talked back, and I don't remember what she said, but she did a really good Red impersonation with the Russian accent and whatnot, and Kate was enamored with that as well. It was fantastic.
That's pretty cool. Now, with all that together, you're talking about, you know, Jeri Ryan and Kate Mulgrew. I saw there, like, I follow Jeri Ryan on Twitter, like most of us do, and I also follow on Instagram, and there was a photo of her and Kate Mulgrew together smoozing it up. And I was so happy. I was ecstatic. I was just like, I hope this is not a promotional stunt. I hope this is real. I hope these are real emotions.
Let me tell you about that, because I got to witness it firsthand. We were in line for the big Voyager group photo, because Lori and I split the cost of it, so it was much more affordable that way. And it was a very limited thing. I think there were maybe 100 of us, tops, that they sold those photos to. So we got to watch everybody walk into the room and actually reunite as they got into the room and caught up and said hello and exchanged hugs. Kate Mulgrew walked up to Jeri Ryan, gave her a hug. They talked for a little while. Jeri Ryan's grown son, who was, I think, just a toddler when Voyager was being aired, talked a little bit about him. He was there. And just caught up, and let me tell you, it was genuine. It was not a publicity stunt. And I'm sure they were fully aware that we were all there watching everybody, but it didn't come across as phony, like, oh, I'm going to, you know, put on a little stunt for just because everybody's watching. No, I feel like it was very genuine, and whatever friction they have between them, they were adults enough to handle it and be amiable and have a good time and enjoy each other's company.
Good. That makes me happy. Like, seeing those kind of things and hearing those kind of stories definitely makes me happy. And I tried to track the, and for those of you who don't know, and we won't get into it, but Kate Mulgrew and Jeri Ryan definitely had a troubled past. They did not get along on set, but I'm glad to know that they're getting along today. But I tried, because I wasn't there, I tried to track as much of what was going on as I could, you know, during those days that you were there and I wasn't. And on StarTrek.com, there was an article written, and this is during the panel. This was actually my favorite segment. It said, Wong told the classic story about him accidentally grabbing Ryan's boob during a shoot one day rather than her elbow. Mm-hmm. And Mulgrew closed the panel by looking at her cast and saying, "I love you guys," before turning to the audience and saying, "And I love you."
She did.
Mm-hmm. I would have melted at like Mulgrew like saying that to her crew and then saying it back at us, because you just feel like it's true.
Oh, it is. It totally is. And to see them all together, man, I don't know how they got anything done as far as shooting the show, because they are a big group of jokesters, that lot. Oh my goodness, they're so freaking funny. There was this great running theme of Ethan Phillips. He eventually became the writer and director and producer of everything. It was this running joke because they were talking. There was some confusion about who was directing what and how many episodes so-and-so, like maybe Robbie McNeil, how many episodes did you direct? And there was some confusion on that. And so then Ethan Phillips just, it started out being the same. Well, I directed Sacred Ground parts 1, 2, and 3. And he got more and more outrageous as the panel went on. And it was so funny. He was writing and directing and producing all of Star Trek and really all of TV, really. Let's not miss words. He's an amazing guy. And so it was a lot of fun. And there were some great freaking stories. They would do little river dance things. And I remember seeing a video of this from a really old convention, and it might still be out there on YouTube. And I'm afraid I don't know where to find it, but they did the little river dance thing, and it was so adorable. Well, they got up and they did a really asynchronous dance in the panel. So it was hilarious. They were so incredibly funny, so incredibly well-spirited. They got a couple of stupid questions just were odd and strange, and we moved on from those. And ultimately, it was the greatest time. And they extended the panel as well. They were only slotted for an hour, all of them. Everybody together for an hour, and that was not going to fly. We were all having way too much fun. And so Adam, the moderator, extended it at least 15 minutes, which he probably shouldn't have done because Jeri Ryan had a flight to catch. You know, actually flying out the door, signing autographs on her way out because she had to get to the airport. I mean, she did everything she possibly could. Yeah, it was so much fun that they had to extend the panel just a little bit. It was great. And what was also nice, aside from just the good connection that you could tell but that was there between all of them, they were really genuinely happy to be all together again, probably for the first time since the show had aired. Everybody got to say a little bit. You know, everybody had their chance to speak. And that doesn't always happen with a panel that big where somebody might dominate the conversation or somebody might not be able to say anything hardly at all when everybody mm-hmm. else has a piece, somebody's too quiet. No, everybody got a chance to speak and say a little something, and that was really nice.
Good, good.
So all in all, I mean, it was just absolute Voyager heaven. It was like the Super Bowl for Voyager. I mean, it doesn't get any better than this. This was the top. I mean, as excited as next year is going to be for the 50th anniversary, no, this is actually, this was it for me.
This was your 50th anniversary.
It really was. I mean, this was what I was really geared up for. This is what means the most to me, and this is the most that I'm going to get out of a Star Trek convention in a very long time. So thank you, Creation, A, for getting everybody together, because I know schedules were really tight, and they couldn't get it together until the very last minute, but they did. And then thank you also, of course, to the cast for coming out and being so kind to all of us out there who were loving you and adoring you. And I blew them a kiss after the group photo because it was just such a great moment. Thank you all for doing that. It was a truly wonderful experience. Had so much fun and lifelong memories that I'll never forget.
Now, before we wrap up, because we are hitting our time here, we do need to mention that while the fans were gathered, One Trek Mind did a panel, and they figured out, they counted the top 10 episodes voted by these fans at Star Trek Las Vegas. And so I just, for all of you who are wondering, here from 10 down to 1, here is the fan-voted best Voyager episodes of all time at Star Trek Las Vegas 2015. Number 10, Death Wish. Number 9, The Void. Number 8, Endgame. Number 7, Equinox. Number 6, Caretaker. Number 5, Living Witness. Number 4, Latent Image. That was a surpriser for me. Number 3, Blink of an Eye. Number 2, Timeless. And number 1, Scorpion.
Not Year of Hell. It did not make the list. So, therefore, I think that list is total BS. And for the record, I was not at that panel.
So it would have come out very differently if Char was at this panel.
No, not necessarily. Here's the thing about those lists is I don't like those types of things because it's all subjective. It's like picking your favorite, your kid. You know, you ask a parent which of their three kids is their favorite. Well, you love them all for different reasons, and there's just no way to do that. And that's why I didn't go to the panel. I just don't care about that sort of thing.
Now, real quick, what was your Sunday?
Oh, yeah. Sunday was a little more low-key. We slept in because we were just drained after such an intense day of Saturday. We slept in, did some breakfast. Lori and I went to breakfast with Matt Hansen. Nice. And then we did, I did a little bit of mission log. We went to the collectibles panel hosted by John Tenuto, who is a very good friend of the Trek FM network and has been wonderful about talking all aspects of Star Trek throughout the whole network. He did a great panel on Star Trek collectibles, Voyager collectibles, and did a great, great, great job on that. Had a really good time going to that panel. Then after that, I did another hour at Mission Log, and then it was time for Uncle George Takei. Listen to him. And then Sir Patrick Stewart. And nice. That was fantastic. We got a sneak peek at his new show that's coming out on the Stars Network. And
oh, yeah.
Yes. Oh, that is going to be so good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one.
We got to see for the first time clips from the show that revealed the fact that his son, who is on his show, is played by his real-life son, Daniel Stewart.
Ha, together again on screen.
Indeed. So that's going to be fantastic. And I cannot wait to see that show. So yeah, it was really awesome to see him. I had never seen him on stage before. So that was really nice. And then unfortunately, that was about it for me for the convention. There was a TNG guys panel after that. And I wanted to go see Mission Log record their panel as well. But that would have taken my drive home back to Phoenix very late into the night. And I knew I was already tired and I knew better than to try and do it. So I left after Sir Patrick Stewart, gave as many hugs as I possibly could to everybody that I could find, and then I was on my way home, and now I'm here today recording with you.
I'm very jealous of you. I'm hoping I can make it next year, and I am so glad that you were willing to share your story with us and the listeners, and it sounds like you had a great time, and I really wish I could have been there for the 20th anniversary panel of Voyager. That sounds like that was your favorite part.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was the absolute peak. Nothing beats that, although there was so much incredibly good stuff. yeah, it was just such a great time, and I wish you would have been there as well. I do have something for you, though.
Oh.
I have a little care package of things that I have for you. From Vegas,
no.
That I'm going to get into the mail hopefully very soon. For those of you who don't know, I'm going to be moving. Yes, again, I'm going to be moving this coming weekend. And so I don't know if I'm going to get it in the mail before or after I move, but I have some things to help you live the experience vicariously.
Oh, well, you didn't have to do that.
No, I didn't, but I wanted to.
Oh, well,
because
thank you
so really. We missed you. We wanted you to be there, and this is the next best thing since we couldn't have you there this year.
You're not going to believe me, but just last night, I was talking to my wife about how I have never received a care package in the history of me.
What?
Like not in college, not when I first moved out or anything like that. Never got any cookies in the mail, never got a box filled with stuff like, hey, take care of yourself. Never got that, ever.
Oh. Oh, that's heartbreaking, Tristan. Oh,
so
darling.
The fact that like you just revealed that you made me a care package the day after I started crying
yes.
into my wife's shoulder.
Well, I thought about just sending it and surprising you, but no, I want you to look for it in the mail. You don't know what's going to be in it, and that will be the surprise.
Well, thank you so much. That means a lot to me. And, you know, care packages to me is not the only thing we've been talking about on Trek Talk.
Well done, sir. That's right. That's not the only thing we've been talking about. And so here's a little glimpse at what else is happening on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, Standard Orbit.
I have been pushing this since I saw Into Darkness. And I saw Into Darkness like a week before it came out in the U.S. So I've been pushing it for a long freaking time. And the idea, of course, is to do...
Captain Worf.
Yeah,
oh,
Captain...
wait, no. That's not it.
Earl Grey.
Yeah, really, she's following the Hasbrat, I think, is really what it is.
Come for the revolution, stay for the Hasbrat.
It's got to be fresh Hasbrat. None of that replicated stuff.
Like, Daniel's like, at the watching the end of this episode, like, tears are coming down the face. It's like, no, it's the Hasbrat. It's so spicy. It's what it is.
The Orb.
Also, the original title of this episode was A Matter of Breeding. Which, when we talk about things feeling TNG-ish, that could have been a Riker episode.
The Ready Room.
It's about people and feelings and emotions. It's about philosophy. It's about the future. It's about hope. It's about glory. It's about intellectual promise. That's what Axanar is about. It is not a story about pew, pew, pew. I promise you that.
To the journey! I do have one honorable mention.
Name it.
Prax!
Oh, how could we not have a top five season five moments without Prax?
Warp 5.
It kind of like is akin to when fans saw the Galaxy class in The Next Generation for the very first time, and you had basically a crew and civilian complement of, what, over 1,000 people? About 2/3 of that complement were civilians and their families. So you actually did have teachers and scholars and scientists and their extended families on board.
Commentary, Trek Stars.
But you would never pick up on that based on the way that it plays out, aside from the fact that they explicitly tell you in the dialogue, you know?
The 602 Club.
It is what it is. I mean, Tom Cruise is who he is, but at the end of the day, he delivered this fantastic movie, and so did all the other new characters.
Literary Treks.
You know, you had the great Enterprise book, The Good That Men Do. And this is The Good That Men Don't Do. And, you know, Edmund Burke is famous for saying the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing.
Mm-hmm. Axanar, the official podcast.
It is the spirit of TOS that matters that's being captured, but it doesn't necessarily have to be the aesthetic. The aesthetic was 1966 to 1969 that had its moment, it had its time, and there's a certain amount of charm still to that. But it doesn't allow you to push the narrative forward because that type of aesthetic holds creativity back, in my opinion.
Women at Warp.
Keiko could totally beat the crap out of Rumpelstiltskin. This is so, like, I cannot buy this at all. That she's just sitting there being like, oh, my baby.
At the very least, she could throw a plant at him or something. Because we established in TNG that pot foo is a thing.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
So check out all of our shows. You're probably going to hear little bits about Star Trek Las Vegas in a lot of them. And none of them are possible without the help of those of you who are helping us as monthly subscribers on Patreon. For TTJ, we especially want to thank our associate producers, and those wonderful people are Aaron Harvey, Jamie Deuce, and Kenneth Tripp. You can follow Aaron at GeekFilter on Twitter. He designed my favorite shirt that I wore to Vegas. What I did right before the convention was I asked him for the artwork for our Team Lizard Babies logo that he designed for us, which he's posted on Babel Conference and on Twitter before, turned it into a shirt, and I got it right before I left, and nobody else at the convention had that baby.
That's cute. That is a unique shirt, and I'm hoping that will be duplicated, where there will be two of those shirts in existence sometime soon.
Well, Aaron kind of gave that away. Yes, there will be a shirt because there are two of us on Team Lizard Babies. Don't you worry, I got one for you too.
Oh, you got me one?
Yeah.
I didn't know. I was just giving you crap. I was going to totally print it myself. I just wanted the art.
No, don't. It's on the way.
Well, I'm glad you said something because I almost did it.
No, I got you one. I just haven't had a chance to get it in the mail because I got it right, but like it was like 3 p.m. on Wednesday night and I was taking off for Vegas. So I have it.
Well, fantastic. Thank you so
much. Yeah, you'll have it soon. So Team Lizard Babies.
Team Lizard Babies. Yeah! Undefeated.
Yes. Two-time back-to-back champs. All right.
Well, next week, I am sad because we are not going to be together next week. We're not going to record because you have this whole thing called a life and,
whatever.
It's going to get in the way of things. So you are taking the Delta Flyer out on a mission next week. You guys don't worry because you are still going to get your To the Journey. Now, it's going to be just as fun because we're going to have a special guest star and you'll have to tune in next week to find out who they are. But until then, this has been To the Journey.
To the journey.